authorizes California to float $3 billion worth of bonds to fund stem cell research. With California closing clinics and paring down other current healthcare programs because of severe budget problems, is this the time to go beyond establishing the right to research to actually funding science unlikely to yield treatments for at least a decade? Wasson says yes.
We've had six or more years to take a look and start to do clinical trials with animals, and we've had some astounding results. We're talking about not a tax, but a bond measure, which increases the bonded indebtedness of California by 0.5%. When Arnold Schwarzenegger took office, he rolled back the vehicle tax. To me, there's no comparison as to which is the more important thing to have, a lower vehicle tax or what most scientists believe will be a historic change in the course of medicine.
Governor Schwarzenegger has recently endorsed Proposition 71, saying, quote, "They have done something smart, which is there are no payments due in the next 5 years. So that is what made me decide to support it," unquote. For FSRN, I'm Kelly O'Ramaris.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WUSB Stony Brook. This programming note starting at 7 p.m. tonight, running until midnight. So you know what? Maybe running until forever when this election is decided. Sorry, I'm getting a phone call. We'll be covering the election in various ways with live reports from all over the country, including occasional pieces from FSRN and various other news sources. So be sure to tune into WUSB. In fact, why not you just keep the dial tuned? You don't need anything else tonight. It's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you up until 7 o'clock, at which point there is election coverage here in WUSB. And I guess the first thing to say to everybody is, okay, you know, here we are. Here we are. This is it, Election Day, the day we've all been waiting for since we were born. It's finally here. And so many people have said this is the most important election of their life. So many people have said that. I might be saying that myself, too. I really might be. Looking at the reaction of everybody, looking at the anxiety and just all of the build-up to this. You know, some countries have elections, they announce them a couple of months in advance, and that's it. This has been going on for over a year, and it's just been building up and building up, and we've had all kinds of... everything this year has been somewhat related to it. The Republican convention, the primaries, the Olympics, it all sort of ties in somehow. And it all comes to a head today, tonight, right now. I guess the first thing is everyone should calm down. People running around screaming in the street, you know, we don't need that. That's what tomorrow's for. Right now, though, people just need to gather themselves together, sit around the radio, listen to what happens, and talk with other people. I've gotten calls today. I can't believe this. People are calling me saying, hey, Emmanuel, did you vote? Are you going to vote today? Like they have to call me to remind me to vote on Election Day. Come on already. I just voted. I just voted now, and I have my own little story. We're going to be checking in with a few other people around the country, see what their stories are. And we welcome your calls, of course, as always, to tell us what happened to you today at the polls. Or if you couldn't make it to the polls, why not? I mean, some people are under 18, they have a good reason. Some people are foreign citizens, they have a good reason. But everybody has an opinion. Everybody has something they want to get off their chest. And that's sort of what today is. Today is sort of the government saying, so, America, what do you think? Because we're going to ignore you every other day of the year, so today, why don't you express yourself? Hopefully people will, and hopefully there'll be something actually to say. We'll see. So I just got here to the radio. I knew this was going to happen. I think I even said this weeks ago that I was going to run into the radio station with moments to spare. And it wasn't my fault this time. It really wasn't, okay? They keep moving my polling place. They keep moving it. I vote in Setauket, which is a nice little town here on the north shore of Long Island. We like to name our towns after the Indians that we massacred. And the Setauket tribe was one of them, and that's where I do my voting from. Now, the first few years, I would vote out of a church, if you can believe that. It's kind of small, you know, everybody knows each other, that kind of a thing. And so I guess they figured it wasn't a big deal to have the polling place inside the church. Well, maybe somebody complained, or maybe they just got a little too small and cramped in there. But it got moved to a school, the Setauket School. And then it was moved to the firehouse. It's amazing. All these little pieces of the community that I'm seeing that I wouldn't ordinarily go into. I have no reason to go into an elementary school. I have no reason to go into a church. I certainly have no reason to go into a firehouse. But yet I was able to see all these places. But today, I forgot where it had been moved to because they can't seem to... Maybe they're bad tenants. I don't know. Maybe they leave a mess and they trash the place every time they have an election there. So they always are getting booted around from one place to another. I don't know. So today I'm just driving. It's already dark. The sun has set. And I don't know where to go. I don't know where I'm supposed to vote. And how do you find out, you know? Yell out the window, hey, where do I vote? Everyone votes in a different place depending on where they live, where their district is. So I kind of had to guess. I looked at the fire department, and there was a fire going on, so I didn't want to mess with them. And it looked like all the people there running around were firemen. Last thing you want to do is run up to firemen who are jumping onto trucks and ask them if you can vote there. The church was looked all, you know, not open for business. And finally, there was the school. God forbid if it was in another place, because I don't know where it would have been. The thing is, since I was at the school last time, they got rid of the driveway to the school. So I almost pulled in to the sidewalk and the lawn that extended beyond that. I guess they had some kind of plan to beautify the grounds or something and got rid of the actual driveway that went to the school. So I had to park someplace else since I didn't know where to go. And I walked up to the front door of the school. And there were these people there, these senior citizens. They were pounding on the door. They were really, you could hear them across the street. And as I got closer, I realized they were pissed. These senior citizens were angry. And it turns out they knew that they were supposed to vote in there, but the door was locked. The door was locked. They had no way of getting in. So they kept pounding and pounding and pounding on the door. And finally, this janitor guy came up and said, oh, yeah, the entrance is in the back somewhere. And they were livid. They were livid because there were no signs anywhere to say where the entrance was. And they went to the entrance that had been in use years ago when they used the school last. And, you know, I heard all as we were walking through the hallways, we had to walk about a mile through these elementary school hallways looking at artwork and essays and things on the wall. And I heard many vows to call the Board of Elections tomorrow morning and complain about this, how this is disenfranchising the voters. And I think there's going to be so many phone calls from people that that are reporting disenfranchisement. So finally, I got to the actual polling place, and well, I did something. Ever since I got arrested at the RNC, I've sort of been wanting to do things that technically you're not supposed to do just to see if I can do it, you know, like make phone calls from inside prison or take pictures of things inside there or just not obey the rules in ways that you can get away with. Well, one thing that a bunch of us meaning, you know, co-conspirators in various parts of the world have kind of sworn to do is take pictures inside the polling booth. Not of what you're voting for, because you really can't do that unless you make a movie, I guess. You take a picture, you know, you could change your vote right after you take the picture. So it's not a way of proving that you voted for somebody. Just to sort of compare what everyone's polling station looks like. Some people are voting with electronic voting booths. Some people are voting with mechanical. Some people have chads. Some people have little pens and paper. And this is a way of sort of seeing it up close. But, you know, I have to do that. I don't even know if it's legal or not legal. I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to get away with that, you know? It's kind of strange. It's kind of strange to explain to somebody who doesn't understand the spirit of just rebelling for no reason at all. So I got into the little, what do you call that thing? I guess the voting booth with the curtain in the back. And there's this guy who's standing, monitoring everybody to make sure they're in the place they're supposed to be. But his feet are practically inside the polling station. So I had to turn my camera on inside my coat, know what button did what, and then also, with my thumb, set it so it didn't flash. You don't want it to flash. And, you know, I haven't looked at the pictures yet, but I did take some pictures of the inside of the polling. I don't know, you know, what I got away with by doing this, but it's just something I felt like doing. And there are other people out there right now, I'm not going to say where they are, but they're out there right now taking pictures of electronic voting stations. And I dare say there are people experimenting with electronic voting stations. I think you have the obligation to do that. If there's some form of new technology in your town, find out how it works. Don't just believe people that say, yeah, it's a secure system, it works, it'll count the votes, don't worry about it. No, not quite. You have to know these things yourself. You have to know how the thing is built, how it works. And if you see something that could be exploited, let people know about it. All right. I was in Philadelphia over the weekend, attended the hacker conference known as PumpCon. That's always a lot of fun. And I noticed Philadelphia especially, we'll be talking to somebody from Philadelphia a little later on. Philadelphia especially seems to have this this get-out-the-vote mentality where they're just going around making sure that people are awake and aware of what's happening. And a lot of people, from what I understand, more people than ever before have registered to vote in Philadelphia, which I think has gotten the Republicans very nervous. One of the things that I saw, there are many, many different signs and posters and just people with clipboards walking around. But one of the things that particularly jumped out at me, a bunch of doors, you know how in hotels when you don't want to be disturbed, you put up one of those signs to say, do not disturb? Well, they made signs like that and they put them on people's doorknobs. Now, I didn't take the one off someone's doorknob. I took one that was in the street because I wanted them to get the message. But basically it says on one side, Republicans, do not disturb. I voted for Democrats and got all my friends to vote for Democrats. The Young Voter Alliance. I just thought it was really kind of clever. And then on the other side, it says, Republicans are counting on you staying home. Wake up, young America. Vote for Democrats on Election Day, November 2nd. And then it tells you where your polling place is. And directs you to a website, www.youngvoteralliance.org. I like to see activism. I like to see people waking up and being involved. And I don't think you've seen that in any election as much as you have in this one. Regardless of what you think of Kerry or Bush, I just think the majority of people realize that this is important. This is something that we all need to weigh in on. I didn't see very many people at my polling station, probably because nobody could find it, but from what I've been hearing from everybody else, there are long, long lines and waits that can last over an hour. It's worth it. It's definitely worth whatever trouble you have to go through to vote. And you feel good after you vote. Almost as good as when you pledged WUSB, which a lot of people did last week. And thank you so much for all your calls. We raised a total of $525 in about 50 minutes of broadcasting, which I don't know if it's a record, but it's pretty damn good. So, again, thanks very much to people who called in. And you will be getting your premiums soon. All right, we're going to make a phone call now. We have a dial tone? Okay. Get an outside line. I'm sorry for all the little beeps, but they're, whoops. And I'm also sorry I misdialed that number. Okay, let's try that again. We're going to be speaking to somebody in New Jersey.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak with Lauren, please?
This is Lauren.
Lauren, hi. It's Emmanuel Goldstein, WUSB Radio. You are live on the air talking to millions of people around the world right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I know it's kind of a frightening moment. You're one of the people, actually, who called me earlier saying, Emmanuel, did you vote? And I'm surprised you would think I wouldn't have remembered to vote on Election Day.
Just reminding you.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate it. I really do. But I imagine you voted already down there in New Jersey, right?
I did, definitely.
And what's the scene like?
You know what? It was really calm and mellow, but kind of eerie at the same time. Driving to the polling area, there were tons of Bush-Cheney lawn things all over the place.
What,
were very few Kerry Edwards, and it kind of creeped me out a little bit. And then on some sides of some houses were these giant Bush-Cheney banners. They were huge. And it just kind of was really intimidating.
Well,
that made my stomach turn a little bit.
Maybe people will feel intimidated by that and get angry. You know, that could always happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, part of me was kind of like, oh, man, you know, I should have volunteered to put some of these signs out for people who are undecided and all this kind of stuff. And then I thought, you know, how many people are definitely undecided about this, you know? But I'm hearing that a lot of people were, you know?
Well, you live in it's a swing state, isn't it?
Sort of. I think we normally vote Democratic, but mm-hmm. I think we are. You know, I think, New Jersey, I know they were campaigning heavily. Both of them were campaigning heavily.
Yeah, and the daughters were there. They were wandering around trying to get people.
Yeah.
Thing is, I don't know, has anyone ever been convinced by a lawn sign?
You know, I don't know. I have no idea. Now, I had to vote for the sheriff and a couple other things as well, freeholders, other things. And you know what? I just voted across party line. You know, I didn't even know who those people were. And you know what? I would be convinced by a lawn sign, a really good-looking lawn sign, for the sheriff. You know what I'm saying? Basically, I just you know, voted across party line, you know. So.
Uh-huh. What kind of polling station did you have? Was it mechanical, electronic?
It was electronic. Actually, it was one of those. Is that electronic? The touchscreen one?
Oh yeah, yeah. Describe it, please.
And actually, I kind of was a little thrown a little bit, and the person standing by the polling area said, "Have you seen one of these before?" And you know what? I don't think I have. So I said to her, "You know, I'm just a little unsure," and she kind of walked me through it and told me what to do, and I thought that was kind of cool. And then she said, "You know, if you make a mistake, you just do this, you touch it again or something." You know, so.
Well, what if you make a mistake and you leave and you realize you made a mistake? You can't come back.
Totally. But you have to press a button that says that you've cast your vote. So you don't press that button until you're absolutely sure. And you know what? This is so ridiculous. I mean, it's so clear. It was so clear.
Uh-huh.
But I kept staring at it, thinking, you know, all right. Make sure I voted for the person I wanted to vote for, you
uh-huh.
know. So I was really nervous. I felt like I was in there for 10 minutes.
Does it beep when you press it?
What'd you say?
Does it beep when you press the button?
You know what? That's interesting because, no, it doesn't.
Okay. Well, no, that's good. That's good because...
I heard some beeping when I was outside, and uh-huh. I thought, oh, it must beep when you press it. But it beeps when you cast your vote.
Okay, no, that makes sense, because if it beeped, you know how checkout lines and ATMs, they beep, but they beep differently.
Yeah.
You could tell who's voting for Bush and who's voting for Kerry if it beeped differently for each one of those.
Wouldn't that be weird? No, I didn't do that. It wouldn't do that. Oh, who knows?
But there's all kinds of things. You can monitor a video signal from the parking lot and see what's going on if it's sent out on the proper frequencies, which many of them are.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to be careful of that kind of thing. Any other memorable moments from this?
Would you say?
Any other memorable moments from this electronic voting?
It's funny. I have my candidate's bumper sticker on the back of my car, and I also have a couple other political bumper stickers. And you know what? I haven't had any problems at all. No one, you know, gave me the finger or anything like that. So it's been okay. But after I voted, I was driving, and this guy comes really close up to, you know, the back of my car, beeps his horn, then swerves by me and holds his nose and kind of looks at me and just holds his nose like, you know, you stink or something.
Well, that's
nice
and democratic.
And then I thought, well, maybe I do stink. And then I thought, well, we're in the car, so that's, you know, that's nothing. So that was the first reaction to the bumper sticker
now,
I had,
what,
which I thought was kind of weird.
May I ask,
on Election Day.
Lauren, may I ask what bumper sticker you had?
I had Kerry Edwards, yes. And I have a bumper sticker that says Iraq distracts, and it tells that it distracts from health care, from jobs, mm-hmm. from fighting terrorism, all this kind of stuff. So those were the two bumper stickers I had on my car. And another interesting thing is I have two young daughters. One is in kindergarten and one is in third grade. Both of them held, their class held elections. And in fact, they held school-wide elections, which is so funny. And I've trained my kids every time they go past the Bush-Cheney sign, they have to kind of hiss. Up and they hiss. And
oh, my
goodness. I know it's kind of sick and crazy, but you know what? My little kindergartner tells me, I don't understand why people vote for Bush. He lied to us. He lied to us. So I thought that was really impressive. But,
that's a smart kid.
In my daughter's class, the third grade class, my daughter came home and she had a sticker that said, I voted today, and it said, she said that Bush won, and she was very disappointed. And then my kindergartner came home, and she said that Kerry won. I'm not sure.
Well, elementary school kids generally are more conservative than kindergartners or junior high.
That's a trend. I don't know, you know. But then I met a former student of mine. I'm a teacher. I met a former student of mine in the grocery store, and she's a senior, and she said, in her high school, it's crazy. The political atmosphere is intense. And she said, you know, it's fantastic because there's constant debates, even in the hallway. It just doesn't take place in class. So young people, you know, high school age, are talking about this. And she said a lot of the kids, you know, especially if they're for Bush, they've definitely influenced by their parents. There's no doubt about it. But then there's a whole bunch of other kids who, you know, are just, you know, frightened by the war, frightened by what their possibilities for jobs are when they get out of high school. But they're really thinking, you know, and I was absolutely impressed with that.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see people thinking, no matter what side they wind up on.
Exactly.
But some intelligent debating of the issues. That's what I think. If there's anything good that came out of all the crap that's been going on the last few years, it's that. It's people thinking.
No, and that's absolutely true. And this voter turnout is very impressive. And, you know, these are positive things, and people are talking. I was talking to a woman at the bus stop just recently. I went to a bookstore today, and the woman voted for Bush-Cheney. But, you know, we had a great conversation, you know, about the issues. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
All right, Lauren, we're out of time, but I want to thank you very much. Do you have anything to say to people who might not have voted yet? Is there a message you'd like to convey to them?
You know what? The same thing you just said before about thinking. Just don't go there, and you know, and just vote for anyone just because. You know, really think about it, and you know, think about the issues. Think about the war. Do we want to continue in the way we're continuing? Think about the economy. Think about some issues, and maybe take one thing that really affects you, and think about it. You know, and vote accordingly. You know.
All right.
That's important.
Well, Lauren, good talking to you, and let's hope that we know by tomorrow who won.
I know. You know, I haven't turned the television on yet. I have Nickelodeon on right now, and it's going to remain there for a while. So I think I'll have a stiff drink, and then I'll turn the television on later on tonight.
All right. You hang in there.
All right. Take care, Eric.
All right. Talk to you later. And my good friend Lauren from New Jersey reporting on the situation down there where I guess it could go either way. New York definitely is going to go with Kerry. I think we pretty much agree on that. You know, it's there was no real campaigning done in New York. There's certain states that just, you know, there's no point Kerry going to Texas. There's no point Bush coming to New York, even though he did anyway. But there's all these other swing states, and they're the ones that are really going to decide it because of the crazy electoral system that we have. And boy, you know, is it ever a crazy system? If for some reason, and this could very well happen, the Electoral College is tied. And don't ask me to explain the Electoral College because I don't know how it works. I just know that you win a state, you get all the votes for that state, and they add it up, and they don't really count the people who voted. They count, you know, witness what we got in the White House now. We got that because of the Electoral College, not because of the popular vote. But what if the Electoral College is tied? And that could happen. That could easily happen. It goes to the House of Representatives. And when it goes to the House of Representatives, every state gets exactly one vote. That's it, one vote. Doesn't matter if you're Texas or Arkansas, you just get the same amount of votes. And since the House is run by Republicans, guess what happens? If that's not enough to annoy people into saying, you know, this electoral crap does not work, let's change it already, nothing will. So there's that part of me that's rooting for a tie, just so people will wake up. All right, let's make another phone call. And where should we go this time? Let's go over to New York City. We'll talk to one of the co-hosts of Off the Hook, who presumably is voting maybe even right now.
Hey.
Is this Mike?
This is him.
Hey, Mike's Manuel from WUSB. You're in New York City, right?
I am.
All right, we just spoke to somebody in New Jersey. What's the situation at the polls like in New York City?
Well, I went to vote this morning, and there was a long line of people there, about half an hour stretching out the door, I guess on their way to work. So there's all these people voting, so I finally made my way to the front of the line and was told that my name is not in the book of people registered to vote.
Your name's not in the book?
My name was not in the book. This despite the fact that I received a couple months ago a card from the Board of Elections telling me that I'm registered to vote and where I should go, and the fact that I voted in the very same precinct last year, somehow my name disappeared from the book. So I got to vote on what's called an affidavit ballot, which is a paper ballot, which I guess is a good thing because I've been talking for quite some time about the wonders of paper ballots, so I got to use one. But then you stick it in an envelope, and you have to write your name and address and sign that you are really supposed to be voting, and then they may or may not count it, depending on if they believe you or not, I guess.
Do you have any idea how you fell out of the book?
I have no idea.
Do you think this happened to a lot of other people?
I called the Election Protection Hotline, which is a stupid name,
but an interesting
concept.
All right.
it's 1-866-OUR-VOTE, OURVOTE, in case anyone else is having problems, and told them what's going on, and they said I was not the first to report this kind of thing in New York. I couldn't say if it's systematic or not.
Wow. Were the people nice, at least?
They were pleasant enough. They were correct. They can't let me vote unless I'm in the book. Whoever made the mistake was not there for me to yell at them. So. Mm.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. Do you still have the mail they sent you saying that you were registered?
Yeah, I showed it to them, but it didn't really do any good.
That's incredible. I don't know how they could send you mail saying you're registered if you're not registered.
Well, I guess I was registered. I was registered last year and never did anything to deregister. So
yeah, but you live in New York City. I don't understand. You live in New York City. You voted in the last election. There's no reason you should have fallen out of the book.
I can't think of a one.
All right. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to get to the bottom of this because, that's just not right. That kind of thing should not happen. So we've talked to two people already, and right away, 50% of the people we've talked to have been problems. That's
The affidavit ballot, though, I do kind of like because it gives it's a nice, easy way if you're doing a write-in like I was.
Except for the fact you don't know if they're going to count it.
Well, they don't count write-ins anyway, so, you know, why not have ease of voting?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, fine, if you look at it that way. But, you know, how many people were affected by this? How many people will just walk away and not challenge it? It should be an easy thing. It shouldn't be all this grief and stress.
I will say that the folks at the polling place, you know, were very upfront. They told me right away that I could cast this affidavit ballot if I wanted. And there were other people casting affidavit ballots. I don't really know what their situations were. So.
All right. Well, anything else you want to pass on to our listeners for maybe a message for people who haven't voted yet or anything at all?
No. I'll let you talk to your next location.
Okay. Well, Mike, sorry it didn't work out as well as you might have wanted it to, and let's hope that at least the election goes better.
Yeah, I would have been more upset if there had been candidates that I wanted to vote for, but whatever.
Well, I guess it's kind of a karma thing then.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you on Off the Hook next Wednesday.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Well, that is something. That is something that I've never had that happen. I imagine I wouldn't be as calm as Mike was in that situation. Even though, you know, it doesn't really matter if you vote in New York because Kerry's still going to carry the state. It does matter. I guess I just revealed who I was leaning towards. Big surprise. If it comes down to a popular vote, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if Bush lost again but one on the Electoral College. I just think that would be an incredible scenario right there. Now, I know a lot of people are tearing their hair out, worrying about what's going to happen. But we have to stick together. We have to get through this somehow, no matter how it turns out, no matter which way it goes. It could go all kinds of different ways. This could be decided by 10 o'clock. This could be decided sometime next year. It could go to Kerry. It could go to Bush. It's not going to go to Nader, I don't think. But whatever happens, we're still going to be here, and your friends are still going to be around, and whatever nasty things happen, we'll just figure it out as we go along. I just say that because a lot of people really seem to be thinking that if Bush gets reelected, it's the end of the world. Well, it's not going to be very nice, in my opinion, obviously. But as long as you have people to talk to. And it's one thing, you know, that if I have to thank Bush for anything, it's that. I was in a restaurant last week with some friends. And one of my friends is wearing a shirt that said, "Not my president." And the waitress, this was in a Japanese place. This waitress just asked what the person's shirt said. And, you know, he opened up the external shirt a little bit so he could see what the T-shirt said. And she just smiled and gave him a thumbs up. You know, that kind of a thing, that kind of a spirit that you see, people sort of connecting on all different levels because we all sort of stand for the same thing. I went to a legal meeting for all the people affected by the RNC arrests. There have been a number of those. And it was held in this large building with many, many offices. And on the way out, the doorman said to a bunch of us who were leaving, "By the way, I want to thank you for being there when I couldn't." You know? And that was simply amazing. That was simply amazing that people are A, aware, and B, that they care that much. So yeah, I think that's something that's come out of all this. Adversity brings you that. Hard times bring you togetherness of various sorts. So if it does wind up being the worst possible scenario, whatever you may fear that will be, there will be good that comes out of it in one form or another. The Depression, for instance. You ever watch The Waltons? You wouldn't have had that show were it not for the Depression. World War II. What did you get out of that? Hogan's Heroes? There were all kinds of... All right, never mind. let's make our next phone call. Now, we may actually find this person inside the polls, and I don't know what happens if your phone rings when you're standing in an election booth. Presumably something.
Hello?
Is this Bernie S.?
It's Bernie S. in Philadelphia.
Bernie S. in Philadelphia. How you doing? It's Emmanuel Goldstein from WUSB here. So are you actually voting right now?
I just finished voting moments ago.
Moments ago. Tell us what the experience was like.
Well, there were surprisingly few people there, although the poll workers told me that they had a much higher turnout than normal, primarily this morning and this afternoon, about 20% higher than their usual turnout rate. And I used an electronic voting machine.
Oh, do describe that.
I even took notes. It's an electronic, where it's E-L-E-C-T, elect is in capital letters, and then the ronic is in lower letters.
Oh, that's so clever.
Electronic model 1242, and the manufacturer of this machine is in New Hampshire, and their name is Dahaner Controls, D-A-H-A-N-E-R, Controls. I've never heard of them.
Okay.
But it's a big, giant... touch membrane panel, and then you with like a plastic overlay with the candidates' names, and you press the candidate's name, and then an LED lights up underneath the overlay, and you'll know you voted for that person. Then there's a great big green button at the bottom you press when you want to register your vote, and then you hear a beep, and supposedly it's recorded. Now around the back of the machine where I got the model number and all that, there is an LED counter which showed how many total votes there were, I mean, total voters, rather. And in addition to the LED counter, there is a one of those electromechanical counters, kind of like the mechanical odometer on your car.
Okay.
For those who still have mechanical odometers. And so I guess if I guess if the electronic counter wasn't working, they'd have the mechanical one to refer to, since if it power is removed from that, it still stays where
well,
it was.
Well, is the mechanical one counting the same time as the LED one is?
Yeah. Okay, I looked at it beforehand and afterwards.
And those two numbers were the same?
And they both had incremented by one after I voted.
Okay, well, I guess that's good.
Well, it's good, except it doesn't show who was voted for.
Well, yeah, but you shouldn't see that. Presumably there's another set of those numbers inside the machine or something.
I don't know, and the guy who was working there didn't know either. He's not allowed to open it up.
I'm not surprised. How many people had voted? Could you tell that?
In my little area, 942, which was about 20% more than normally vote in my place.
I assume there's an extra space for another digit if it goes over 1,000.
Yeah, it was a four-digit. Well, it might have been, I don't know. There was more than three digits.
Yeah, what if more than 10,000 people vote? Then you'd need five digits.
Yeah, this is property of the city of Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to research this machine later on and see what I can find out. There was a really nice manual for this machine in a pocket in the back, but I thought better than to take it out and start flipping through it.
They left the manual in the voting booth.
A manual was behind the machine where the poll workers are supposed to turn to this if there's any problem. But there were a bunch of LEDs that were not illuminated that showed all kinds of different error conditions.
Uh-huh.
Like loss of power, electronic failure was one of them, which it has to be concerned most. There were like five or six different things that could go wrong, lights. Basically five or six idiot lights on the back of this thing. And the only one that was on was the one that said power is on. So
okay.
I looked to see there seemed to be no backup power, like no uninterruptible power supply that the machine was plugged into, although there may be one internal to the machine.
I would hope so. That's a standard thing that really you should have with a voting booth.
Yes.
Well, maybe through some social engineering or just asking nicely, we can get the manual from these electronic Dahoner control people.
That is my intent. I have a couple of interesting brief stories. I've been working on the Terry campaign the past couple of nights doing phone bank work. And I had a couple of interesting situations. The reason I was, when I showed up to do this work, I was advised that the reason we were calling people was to, we were calling registered Democrats in North Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, just to make sure that they knew that Election Day was Tuesday. And you might think, well, everybody knows it's Tuesday.
Right.
Well, not there, because in those areas, people were getting flyers stuck in their doors and in their mailboxes saying that Democrats will vote on November 3rd.
Who stuck those flyers in their mailbox?
Very good. They weren't necessarily sent. I don't think they were mailed. I think they were placed there. And there are other flyers. There's another flyer, too, that said, your polling place has changed. It will be at this other address, which was, like, really far away. And it was just, and these aren't, like third. And then after I talked to a bunch of people, I talked to over 300 registered Democrats in Philadelphia on the phone the past couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting people to read these things to me over the phone. So this isn't just, like, hearsay rumor type things that, you know, this is firsthand information I'm getting from people who actually had these things stuck in their doors.
You need to get that to some of the mass media.
That was kind of chilling.
Yeah, you need to have that on TV, showing people just the tricks that...
I wish that these people... I'm thinking to myself, I should ask these people to fax these things to me or something. But, you know, these are just people in their homes. They don't have fax machines. So
uh-huh.
I didn't do that. But
you came across this more than once.
Yes, I ran it... three or four times I ran into people who'd gotten these things stuck in their doors. These deceptive... confusing voter alerts.
Were they in the same basic neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay, well, somebody's up to no good, obviously.
Well, I don't know if the same neighborhood, the same section of North Philadelphia, which is heavily Democratic.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Philadelphia, I think it all depends on if people turn out in Philadelphia, because there's been a massive voter outreach there. Pennsylvania itself, though, is notoriously conservative. However,
right, well, aside from Pittsburgh, the Perry people, the higher up Perry people I was talking to said the idea was to get at least 100,000 more Perry voters in Philadelphia to compensate for the Republican votes that are in the middle of the state. As many people are aware, between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, which are both heavily Democratic, you have a demographic area that more closely resembles Alabama.
Yeah. People call it Pennsylvania, too.
That, too. We've actually driven through many times.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's where all the prisons are.
Uh-huh.
But, well, let's not worry about that. The thing is, yeah, if there is a large turnout in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, it could actually make a big difference. And that's I think that's what we're seeing throughout the country, is the turnout affecting the outcome. Now, we've seen a lot of polls, and this is something that's kind of been convincing me that Bush was going to win, because every poll that I see has Bush ahead by a slim margin. It never seems to be Kerry ahead by a slim margin. It's always Bush ahead 47 to 46 or something like that. But one thing that none of these pollsters have taken into account is the massive number of new people who have registered, the massive amount of young people who have registered, the massive amount of people who only have cell phones.
Exactly.
And so they can't be called to participate in these polls.
And even if they were called, they would have no idea where, you know, what part of the geographic sample they're calling, because, you know, you get a cell phone, it could be in any geographic phone exchange. So you can't use the traditional polling techniques with people that have cell phones.
So I think it would be amazing if the pollsters also lost in this election, and if it was suddenly a very different number than what they were expecting. And that could happen if people vote in numbers that it looks like they're voting in, and new people especially.
I hope so. I think the polls, I think the big TV networks are kind of biting their tongues this time around. They don't want to be look like fools again. So I'm hearing that they're not doing exit polling like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Although the exit poll stuff is showing up on websites on the internet, but not on conventional broadcast mediums like radio and TV.
How about that? I'm going to go to the CNN website and see if they're saying anything or projecting anything at this point. I did happen to turn on...
When I said websites, it may not be CNN that's doing it. Maybe like other less mainstream news outlets are having exit polls.
Okay.
Information.
There's nothing here. They're just talking about long lines, which I didn't experience. I don't think anybody I talked to tonight really experienced very long lines.
I spoke to several coworkers this morning who voted like right when the polls opened at 7 o'clock, or even got there early before they opened. And they were telling me that there were scores of people in line even before the polls opened, which in their section of the town was highly unusual, unprecedented. So it seems like the morning, like I was told this evening when I voted, that the morning and afternoon turnout was much heavier. What time did you vote, Emmanuel?
I voted right before the show at about 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So, my problem was finding the polling place, because they keep moving mine, and they only opened up the back door, and they didn't have any signs up, and they really annoyed these senior citizens who had to walk all over the place to find the damn poll.
I'll bet.
And that's a quote from them.
Speaking of senior citizens, I spoke to one woman, a registered Democrat, last night, whose next-door neighbor is a staunch Republican, and who's 85 years old and in a wheelchair, and she told me that he asked her to wheel him to the polls because she dislikes Bush so much, he's determined to vote against him this year. So he got pushed in a wheelchair at his request to vote presumably for Kerry, but for someone other than Bush.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was just a good story.
He might have just said that just to get a free ride down there, you know.
That's possible. I wondered that myself. But
that's okay. You know, I just want people to vote for whoever they feel is best. And I hope it goes the way I want it to go. But if it doesn't, I'm going to survive and deal with it one way or another. And I hope everybody else feels the same way, because there's no point gnashing your teeth over this.
This makes me recall, we had a caller into another radio show off the hook a few weeks ago from Brazil, I think, told us that you're required by law to vote there. And if you don't, you get a fine in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I know a lot of people don't like to hear talk like that, you know, as far as the government coming down on you. But this is, all right, maybe there's no legal fine or penalty for not voting. But morally, you know, it's something that I really think you should think hard about. Why wouldn't you want to voice your opinion or say something? Do you really think that it doesn't make any difference at all? Do you really think that, are you content letting somebody else make your decisions for you? There may not be much of a choice, but there is a choice. There is a choice, and I think a lot of people realize that there is a difference. This is very different than 2000. Very different.
And there's over an hour left to vote, right?
Here there's more than that. In New York, we didn't change our clocks. How about that? Well, okay, if you change your clocks, though, there's 2 hours and 50 minutes left in New York. But other places, yeah, it's very different. I've got a list someplace that tells when the polling place is closed. But, you know, just get down there if you haven't gotten down there already, and hopefully your name will be on the list. You hear, I don't know if you heard the show, but Mike tried to vote in New York, and his name got taken off the list for some reason.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I read that somewhere. I read somewhere that a Green Party voter was mysteriously off from the list as well.
I'm not sure if he's registered with the Green Party, but that would be interesting if he were, and that's why he was taken off. But we're going to follow up on that and find out just what happened.
We're doing.
All right, Bernie, thanks so much, and let's keep an eye on what happens tonight. It's going to be interesting.
All right, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. Take care, then.
Have a good night.
Bernie S. talking to us from Philadelphia, another person involved in Off the Hook, which won't be on tomorrow night, by the way. Hopefully we'll be on again next Wednesday night. And by then, maybe we'll know who the next president of the United States will be, or won't be. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. We'd like to know if you have any voting experiences today worth sharing with our listeners, or any political talk that you'd like to get out in this very last time you'll have the chance before the election. Give us a call, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the air.
My name's Pauline. I'm here in Bayshore. I just voted. I've been voting since 1972.
Oh, good for you.
It was busy.
Was it busy?
Yeah. And I asked one of the polling people, it's pretty busy here. She said, there were people waiting since 6 o'clock this morning. There were people there.
Wow. But they weren't waiting all day. They were waiting, an hour or something?
Yeah, when they opened.
Uh-huh. Wow. It's great to see people who care that much to go out and wait online for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd tell you. I like the show.
Thanks. Any problems voting? No confusion or anything like that?
No, they did swap my spot in the gymnasium, but that was about it.
They did what?
They changed around the polling areas in the school.
Yeah, they always do that. They move them around. I don't know why. But you're in New York, so you use the mechanical ones, right?
Ones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a sore spot for those, actually, but who knows? We'll see if they change in the future. All right, thanks for your call.
Okay.
631-632-9872 is our telephone number. 6 in 10 Americans say it's unlikely we'll know by tomorrow who the winner is. 6 in 10 Americans, boy. That is something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. I definitely agree there's no way we're going to know in the short term. But I wanted to talk about the lawn signs that you talked about with your first caller.
Okay, where are you calling from, first of all?
I am calling from right down south from you guys, right on the south shore of Long Island.
Okay.
And I spent most of last week in Pennsylvania with the League of Conservation Voters, nonpartisan group, and their objective was get out the vote.
Uh-huh.
And one of their philosophies was lawn signs, and I think they had done, tremendous research. They were such a well-organized group. But they, according to their research, the lawn signs sway neighborhoods.
Really?
Because there's an awful lot of people like you. You and I probably are very interested in this. We follow it. An awful lot of people really could kind of care less. They don't see that it really affects them or that their vote really matters. So if they're going to do it, if they're going to plant the same kind of flowers that the guy next door is, or if they're going to buy the same car that the woman next door has, why wouldn't they vote like their neighbors vote?
Yeah, but the thing is, you can see the flowers. You can't see the vote.
But
There's no reason for somebody to actually do that in their head. They can vote however they wish, and their neighbor's never going to know.
Right, but if it's not really that much of a priority for you and you're not really thinking about it, but you're like, oh, I got to go to the polls. Well, I think Joe and Mary are nice people, and they're smart, and
uh-huh.
Their kids are cute, and they drive a nice car. Well, they're voting for blah, 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 so.
Yeah, I can't stand when people are pressured in whatever way to do something without thinking about it first. I hope that doesn't happen on either side of the issue here. I hope people really think the issue's through. But one thing, though, in Pennsylvania.
The reason for the lawn signs, though.
Yeah.
We're asking, what do these lawn signs do? What do they really work? Statistically, this group that I was with, they felt that really was a signal.
Uh-huh.
Really was an impact.
One sign that apparently is very popular in the country in Pennsylvania is a big poster of Bush and Cheney. It says, Bush and Cheney, one nation under God. Boy, that scares me.
I spent last week in Philadelphia. We didn't see that.
Oh, you won't see it in Philadelphia. In fact, I don't think I even saw a single Bush sign in Philadelphia.
There was definitely quite a few. We did canvassing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we actually shared office space with the young voters.
Uh-huh.
And they were so excited and so energetic, and they were really getting out to the young people that other people weren't getting to. So that was It was unbelievable, the number of people who had never done anything like this before. I mean, I was one of them.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it would be great if this was the election that it was known that the young people of America made the difference, because they certainly have that power.
They absolutely do.
All right. Thanks for your call. 631-632-9872. Let us know what's going on with you this election day. And good evening. You're on. Oh, you're not. You hung up. How about that? Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on.
Hey, I got voting, so I'm on my way to the polls now, but a few years back I was voting, and I went into this place, and usually when you go to the, you got people sitting around eating Entenmann's, taking your name and stuff, you know, and they're just hanging out, basically leading you over to the machine.
Uh-huh.
So I went in, and I was a little undecided, even up to the point when I was actually voting. I was looking, I spent some time in there, and this lady's outside, and she comes over, says she's calling to me, behind the curtain, saying, you know, you've been in there a long time. Now, I don't know how long I was in there. I know it wasn't like a lot of time, you know, uh-huh. Maybe about 5 minutes or something like that. Well, my wife was with me at the time, and she was standing in line, and she tore into this lady. And I'm on the other side of the curtain. I hear this whole thing going on the outside.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, is there a time limit for the amount of time it takes you to vote?
That's a very good question. I know it's not 5 minutes if there is one. It might be something like maybe 15 or 20. But if anybody knows that, please let us know, because that is a good question.
And I know I wasn't spending that much time in there. And, yeah, but she was all over her. It was kind of cool. And I was slightly embarrassed when I came out, but I thought, oh, this really is democracy at work.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe they just wanted to make sure you didn't fall in or something.
Oh, jeez.
All right, thanks for your call.
Hello.
Good evening, you're on. Go ahead. Let's go over here. Good evening, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guy.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Iowa, Rover in the chat room.
You're the guys who decide the election every time. Yeah, you basically, you tell us, you know, who's going to be the candidate, then we get to vote for it, right?
Well, yes and no.
You picked Kerry. You made Dean drop out.
Well, that, I actually wanted Dean to run.
So, tell us about your election day experience.
Well, township, normal elections, we might have 100 to 150 people vote. When we went in at 5 o'clock Central, there was over 300.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's not counting the absentee ballots.
Uh-huh, which hopefully you will count.
Yeah, well.
At some point anyway.
There was an auction watcher, you know, a poll watcher.
Uh-huh.
And he went up to the ladies, you know, the people that are, you know, checking your names and making sure that you live where you're supposed to live and so on, and asked about, you know, these two people that had the same address and same telephone number, and said, well, this person is, you know, the mother, and this person is the daughter, and it's her first election, and she's real, you know, excited about it.
Uh-huh.
But that's basically it. Just on the, you know.
So it's busy, but fairly uneventful as far as any controversy or anything like that?
Yeah, nothing that going on. You know, just, you know, we're out here in the Midwest. Nothing much goes on, you know.
Well, sometimes it's better that way.
Well, let's get back to the show.
Thanks for your call. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
That's a report from Iowa. There we have this information concerning the maximum time in a voting booth. This actually comes from South Dakota, but it's probably similar in other states. The person voting shall cast his vote without delay. No voter may occupy a voting booth or voting machine already occupied by another, okay, or occupy a voting booth or machine for more than 10 minutes. All right, so that's it. In South Dakota, you got to be out of there in 10 minutes. All right. Let's take a couple more calls. We're going to be going to our special election coverage at 7 o'clock, assuming they're already in there. I see all kinds of chaos ensuing as people are preparing for the long night ahead. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm calling from Virginia.
Virginia. How's it going down there?
It's going all right. I know that we're almost never in play, but I voted for Kerry anyway.
Oh, good for you.
And they had a... It was weird. At the school I went to, they had it split. They said, Tyler voters vote here, and Haymarket voters vote here, and Tyler's the name of a school, and Haymarket is the name of a city. And I'm like, well, I live in Haymarket. So I went over to the Haymarket side. They're like, you're not registered. And I said, yeah, I am. What are you talking about?
So Tyler and Haymarket, those are counties?
Tyler is the name of a school, and Haymarket is the name of a city. So we were confused as to where to vote.
I'm confused right now. So what does it mean?
So we never figured that out, but apparently I was to vote on the Tyler side. They found my name on the Tyler side.
Well, have you ever been involved with Tyler in any way?
No, and, you know, before we just went to the school and we voted easily. They didn't have it split up or anything. It just...
You didn't go to Tyler School?
No, I didn't go to Tyler.
Never grew up? Oh, wow, that is complicated. What kind of machines did he use?
And this was the cool part. They had the flip-on machines, like the regular old machines, and they had the new push-button machines.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I wanted to use, because I'm in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
I'm disabled, and I was like, this will be easier for me.
And that's the one you used?
Yeah, and it was just pretty cool. I was excited about it. But one more weird thing, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, don't worry.
But,
we're all nervous, believe me.
It was my sister. They, you know, we said my mom went with me. And they said, oh, Hollyann. They said, has Bridget voted?
Uh-huh.
My mom said, oh, she did an absentee vote ballot.
Oh, really?
They put AB by her name. Now, if she was in this area, could she have voted twice if they didn't say?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, maybe she could have gotten away with that.
Like, if my mom wasn't honest about it, she could have, in theory, voted twice.
There's all kinds of things you can do, ways of abusing the system if you're not honest. Yeah, people can vote multiple times. And that's why it's important to point these security holes out whenever they happen.
And in 2001, you know, right after September 11th, when I went to vote, I was thinking, you know, my friend would have to sign his life away to help me vote. And they're like, oh, no, he can just go right in.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, man, if it was just a local election, you could just threaten old ladies.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that. Listen, thanks for your call. We're out of time.
All right, have a nice day, man.
All right, take care. We've had a good sampling range, I think, all around the country. Didn't get much of the West Coast, though, did we? But, well, I'm sure we will later. We have a whole night of election coverage coming up right after this show. And you should stay tuned to WUSB. And if you're listening on the internet, don't touch that browser. Just stay listening here, and you'll get all kinds of alternative aspects to the election, and hopefully some more phone-ins as well, because I know you have a lot to say and a lot of experiences to share. In any event, though, it's going to be an interesting night. It's going to be a very historic event, and we'll be talking about it next week. I'm going to be in California, actually, starting tomorrow. I'm going to the season finale of the Bill Maher Show, the real time on HBO. So look for me in the audience. I'll be wearing an orange shirt. I'll wave at you. But, you know, I figure it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a politically charged program. It's the last program of this season, and it's right after Election Day. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody. Also, you know, taking a plane the day after Election Day is bound to be interesting, too. We might be under martial law. Who knows? It's just going to be an interesting experience. And it's made interesting by sharing together. OTW at 2600.com if you want to write in. Stay tuned to WUSB. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you.
Beautiful. You're tuned to 90.1 WSB Stony Brook on this special election night broadcast. This is Mike Neverdakis.
And I'm Dustin Herlick.
And we'll be with you until midnight tonight with a special WSB election program.
Right now, we're going to open it up. We're going to let you know this is a live call-in show. You're able to listen to us live on, obviously, 90.1 FM. Also, you can get us on the internet.